One of the things that made me fall in love with church as a teenager was the occasional chance to ring the church bell. This was particularly true on New Year's Eve. For most of my tumultuous high school years, I could count on seeing in the new year with my youth group friends at the Little Presbyterian Church in Deer Lodge, Montana. My church youth group was one of the main things that kept me, a not out yet gay teenager in rural Montana, from being completely isolated and utterly bullied. Acceptance at church was one of the things that kept me from feeling suicidal. Suicide among rural teens is twice as high for gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender ones. Montana was and is a very rough place to grow up. But on New Year's Eve, I knew that I would be at a fun party that would include ringing the church's bell at midnight. Like First Parish, the bell rope of that little rural church came down in the lobby, and like the rope of our own bell, that one was coarsely braided and would burn your hands if you did not know when to let go of it. That bell, too, was heavy enough to lift you off the ground by its rope if you held on. On New Year's Eve, our group of a dozen or so teenagers would gather with the minister and a couple of youth group advisors to play games, eat junk food, and await midnight. After the traditional countdown, we would take turns ringing the church bell for what seemed like a very long time. It was as if we wanted to wake up that sleepy little town of fewer than 5,000 people. It was as if we wanted to make sure that everyone knew we and our church were there. Church bells are important to individuals and to communities. Church bells signal the start of Sunday services. They toll at the funerals of beloved members. They peal at the weddings of other church members. Church bells can signal danger and joy, sadness and protest. The bell above our heads in the steeple of First Parish is its most public voice. The bell above our heads rings to let the world know that we are here, and it rings to wake us up too, to our responsibility in the world. As you might imagine, in its 380-year history, First Parish in Concord has had a number of church bells. Relying on the church history, the Meeting House on the Green, published in 1985, I want to take us on a little tour of the church bells of First Parish in Concord. In Puritan times, there were often debates about whether to employ bells in churches or not. They were thought to be a bit showy. The first record of a bell in our congregation dates to before 1673. First Parish in Concord is the 15th oldest congregation in New England, and it was one of the first to have a bell. At first, the bell was hung on a tree outside the meeting house, where it is remembered to have frightened the Native Americans with its sound. At the completion of the second church building, the bell was hung in a turret on that building. Writing an account of these times, a Dr. Lee reports that the bell was broke about 1696 and sent to England to be rerun. Upon its return from England, it was put up back in the turret. In 1711, the congregation decided that it was time for a new building, its third of four so far. There was much disagreement at town meeting during the next 9 years about how to construct the new meeting house and what to do with the old one that was still standing. In 1720, as the old meeting house was being dismantled to become the new courthouse, the bell was once again hung in a tree, a white oak tree that stood here on our property. When the new courthouse was done, it was rehung in the turret on the courthouse until 1784, when it cracked again and was declared useless. Later that year, a delegation from First Parish went to Hanover, Massachusetts, to have a new 500-pound bell cast for the church. It was hung, but only had a 5-year life before it too cracked and was considered not repairable. Next, a bell was ordered from England, and the congregation constructed a special tower on the church to accommodate it. Edward Jarvis wrote about 1880 that the bell was brought from England in 1789, and it weighed only 600 pounds. It had a motto on the outside near the bottom. This is the motto. It said, "I to the church the living call, and to the grave do summon all." An honest, if not very cheery, motto for a bell. This bell also cracked early in its life and was known to have a very strange voice for many years. After the congregation split in 1826 into First Parish and the Trinitarian Congregational Church, the new members at Tricon built a building and installed a melodic bell to compete with our old cracked, squeaky one. So beautiful was this new bell that our own bell ringers abandoned us to go and ring the bell at Tricon across the brook. We were not to be outdone by the Trinitarians, though, and we brought together donations to purchase a bell that weighed 1,572 pounds and installed it in the steeple along with a clock. That'll show them. This new bell was enough to lure our own bell ringers back from Tricon to perform their twice daily duty of ringing the bell at noon and at 9 p.m. In Edgar Wesley Tucker's account, he says, "Then there was a rivalship between the friends of the two bells to see which would ring the longest. Some days and nights, both bells were sounded for more than an hour," he reports. People at that time would stop their work or step to their doors to listen, and the friends of each enjoyed the pleasant sound, each from his own bell. Having met a tragic fate, this very bell can be seen to this day, sitting on the green in front of the church. And here's the story of how it got there. At about 2:30 a.m., on Thursday, April 12th, 1900, fire alarm box 16 in the newly renovated building of First Parish in Concord went off when watchman Patrick Varley discovered some paint rags had spontaneously combusted. This was the first time that the new fire alarm system of the town had been used, and the results were not altogether satisfactory. Our old cracked church bell in the courthouse turret was not sufficient to summon the volunteer fire department, and the church building itself was on fire. Imagine this building looking very much like it does today, on fire. Willard T. Farrer, the sexton at Tricon, heard the alarm and rushed over to our building. Tucker describes the scene this way. Farrer, sexton at the Congregational Church, seeing that the men of the town did not respond and believing that they had not heard the courthouse bell, said he was going to ring the bell on the burning church. Despite pleas to the contrary, he broke open the door and fought his way to the bell rope right back there. Soon the bell was swinging in the tower. He rang it until the steeple was on fire, and he saw the ceiling fall at 3:30 a.m. The bell cracked with a loud noise and fell into the ruins. It was a terrible crash and set up a shower of sparks high into the air. In this way, the old bell gave up its own life in the effort to summon aid to the dear old church and will long remain enthroned in the hearts and memories of the townspeople. At 3:40 a.m., the steeple fell. This wonderful old bell was saved from being sold for scrap by three devoted parishioners, Prescott Kies, Henry F. Smith, Jr., and Charles W. Prescott. Together, they paid 1 cent more per pound than the foundry would offer. The bell sat for many years in one of their barns until it was brought back to church grounds. Now it reminds us that our building is precious and fragile and in need of our constant vigilance and care. A small piece of that old bell was contributed to the founding of the new bell that we currently use. In that way, the new bell and the old bell share common properties. The new bell we currently use contains 77 parts copper and 23 parts East India tin. It was cast in West Troy, New York, and weighs 3,500 pounds. Care was taken to match its pitch of D to that of the Trinitarian Congregational Church's bell in the pitch of F. The two bells are a third apart on the musical scale. How fitting is that? In 1983, our current bell was professionally rehung on new bell supports. That was the wheel I was telling the kids about earlier. It is rung mechanically on the hour and manually on other occasions. Having been expertly rehung, the bell will no doubt sound at the hours and call people to church for many years to come. Each Sunday morning, I get a thrill when the usher rings our church bell 5 minutes before the service starts. As you can see, we list this important ritual in the order of service every Sunday. Whether I'm standing outside greeting you or just inside the lobby doors, I can see the look of delight on your faces as you walk into the church with its own bell ringing. There's something very special about approaching our beautiful church with its bell calling out to us. It says, welcome. It says, come on in. It says you are meant to be here this morning. It says you are part of something much greater than yourselves. It says we are engaged in a deeply religious act together. No matter your age, you cannot help but smile as you hear the bell ringing on a Sunday morning. It is your bell. It rings for you. Just as surely as I knew that the church bell in that little rural Montana church rang for me on New Year's Eve and on every Sunday as my family hurried into church, I know that the bell of First Parish in Concord rings for me just as faithfully. I may no longer be Presbyterian, but I am just as in need of religious community. I may no longer live near my family, but I am just as much in need of the bonds of love and friendship. I may no longer be a teenager, but I am just as in need of the support of others as I was back then. The church bells may have changed, but the need has not. By my falling in love with church as a teenager, I ensured that I would have a place to be seen and heard and respected and loved all of my life. I hope it is the same for you. I hope you too can find your place here or wherever a church bell beckons you. And did you know that our church bell has a motto? It does. It has an inscription that is a line from the Schiller poem, The Song of the Bell. The inscription on our own bell, the one hanging in the tower above our heads, reads, "Thy name shall be peace. Thy name shall be peace." What a fitting message to send to us and to Concord and to the whole world. In this new year, may peace settle on your life. May peace accompany your words and your deeds. May peace prevail here and everywhere. And when we forget to be peaceful, as we surely will forget, may the church bell of First Parish in Concord call us back to its peace. May it call us back to our best selves again. I invite you to hold a time of silence now, and Doug Baker will ring the bell of First Parish in Concord 15 times, once for each year of this new century. Listen to your bell. It rings for you and for all. So be it. Amen.